You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Joachim Lagergren claims a maiden European Tour title at the Rocco Forte Sicilian Open.
So hard to put words for my emotions at the moment. I'm so happy, emotional, all at the same time. So yeah, awesome. That's the way to finish a tournament, isn't it?
The Swede prevailed in a playoff against Mike Lorenzo Ferrer, who was also chasing his first win as well.
I gave it a go. I tried my best and here you go. He did it better than me. Now I'm just going to have to work more and to be able to finish the job.
We'll review the best of the action and also look ahead to the next event, the inaugural Belgian knockout. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and today I'm joined by former European Tour professional John Hawksworth. Good to have you back, John.
Hello, Rob, how are you?
Yeah, very good. How are you?
Well, yes, I've come through another winter. That's the main thing.
Well, good to have you down in the big smoke. Reviewing what happened in Sicily. Looked a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, I was lucky enough a few years ago to go there, Vidura Golf Club, right on the edge of the, well, it's not an ocean, of course, it's a sea, but it's a stunning setting. But if the wind blows, it can play havoc on that golf course.
How much fun was it watching the players having to play in what was a strong wind?
I think it's good to watch. The game has changed, obviously, dramatically, and keeping the modern ball down nowadays, it isn't affected by the wind as much, but it's certainly a challenge. But, of course, you get a lot of crosswinds on that golf course, which is a tough thing to play in.
And how, with the prevailing wind coming off the Med, tough are the last four or five holes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that 18th, I watched it yesterday, obviously in regular time and the playoff. You would not want to play that into a hard right to left into breeze. It's a punishing drive out, you know, with the hazard out of bounds down the right-hand side, traps up the left, and then he's still going in with a mid-iron. 17's a good hole as well, but there's a lot of great holes on that golf course and a lovely hotel.
Nice hotel?
Oh, yes, yes. I've got previous in there.
For the right price?
Yeah, it was for the right price that week.
Very good.
No, it's a lovely place to go. Great holiday destination. I like Sicily.
Yeah, all the players spoke so highly about the resort and, of course, the golf course itself. Very impressive, Vidura Golf Club. Two 18 holes, and it's a hybrid, the one they play, John.
It is, yeah, it's a mixture of the two. But I think they put together a really good golf. It's changed over the years, not the same as when they, I don't think, when they were back there in, gosh, the years fly by. Ollison's first win came in about 2011 or 12, I think it was the first time we went there.
And it's firmly on the map now.
Yeah, it is. It's a great event. And I know the players enjoyed it. How could you not?
Yeah, you couldn't go there and not have a great time because it certainly tested your game, particularly on Thursday and Friday when it was really windy. For Joachim Lagergren, it all worked out beautifully, his first win. And he went into Sunday two shots behind Frenchman Michael Lorenzo Ferrer, who was in good form himself.
Yeah, Lorenzo Ferrer is sort of, he's been around on tour about 10 years now. And he was bubbling for a long time. A few good results last year, gets himself in position to win. Would he be disappointed? Of course he would, but he would have taken second at the start of the week. But I've kind of been waiting for Lagergren to win for a good few years. Do you remember back in Denmark when Peters won the tournament to get in the Ryder Cup?
But Peters birdied the last three holes.
And Lagergren, though, pulled it left.
Snapped
up 18.
It left, took seven.
Took seven. I mean, brilliant from Peters. But Lagergren, he's long, you know. He's only a slight chap.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to give it a clout.
He
but
did, yeah.
It's been coming, this.
It certainly had. For Lorenzo Ferrer, he really didn't have a warm putter at all in the last round.
No.
And he had to wait. He birdied the first, and then he had to wait until the 13th to make his next birdie when he stiffed his iron shot.
And he was it up 17, he was a little bit lucky. He pulled it left off the tee, and it kicked straight, and then he hit it stone dead because there was all sorts of trouble left of 17. But you need to putt well on Sunday. It's all right giving yourself chances. What's the difference? A little bit of fear in your arms and your hands and your brain. Anyway, got to the playoff, but Lagergren, you know, prevailed on a really good par four.
Well, Lagergren had the lead, and then after a really late birdie from Mike Lorenzo Ferrer, like you mentioned, when he stiffed another iron shot, it was all square. Both players having to complete the last hole and par, which they did, and then playoff.
Yeah, then a playoff back to the 18th.
What a horrible hole to play off.
Oh, dear. Well, it's an elevated tee. You look down, you can see everything in front of you. The breeze was a little bit off the right-hand side. Then there's a rise in the fairway. It's quite a generous-sized green, but there was trouble waiting everywhere. But they both, Lagergren hit a bit of an iffy tee shot, I would have said, in the playoff. He kind of high right shoulder, but it didn't kick right, and he had a shot into the green.
What about the shot he hit? Because you get your chance.
Yeah.
And he stood up there and took it.
Yeah. And then, of course, had... well, you'd be having all sorts going through your mind, wouldn't you? You've got to put to the back that you've not won before. This is a great chance to do it. You've got to deal with it, as they say, the old cliche, one shot at a time. But I think he's going to press on now.
To birdie, I would have said, if you go to that 18th hole in a playoff between two players and you par it, you've got a great chance of winning
absolutely.
It. And Mike Lorenzo-Vera parred it and lost.
Yeah, absolutely. You would have taken par there. You wouldn't have thought a birdie was going to win it in a two-man shootout.
Incredible birdie from Lagren then, and thoroughly deserved win.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, as I say, it's overdue and he's sort of got that monkey off his back. Bjork won the other week. That was his first win.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you'll remember back years ago when the federations got together and put money into young players, going back to the days of the Swedes with Parnevik and Johansson, Hegman, and they built this...
Team Sweden.
Team Sweden, this pool... Sponsored by a car manufacturer, which I won't mention.
And Hello Sweden, that was a big part of it, wasn't it?
Hello Sweden. And then you look how Scandinavian golf moved on. Same with the Danes as well, you know, with Bjorn, with the Swedes, with Stenson. Stenson was after it started, but he's a product of what started 25, 30 years ago.
And good performances, we should mention, from Andy Sullivan and Australian youngster Lucas Herbert, 63. Final round for Lucas.
Yeah.
So obviously some talent.
Yeah, there's a lot spoken about him. Another one was Julien Guerrier as well.
What a ball striker.
Yeah.
What a ball striker.
And he's been off tour for about 5 years or so. And you think, where's he been?
He's not young. He's in his 30s now.
Yeah. Is he 32?
Well, he's in his 30s.
Well, that'll count then. He is a good ball striker. But
And Bjerregaard looked very good for most of the week as well.
Yeah, he's a bit prone to hitting... few iffy shots and not...
He's prone to hitting very good shots, I know that much.
He is prone, but his putting sometimes can be a bit tricky.
I've not seen that, I must say. He's a very talented player. I mean, there's so many good players now on the European
absolutely.
Tour. It's quite incredible.
I was there when he won in Portugal last year.
Portugal
just,
Masters, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, long too. Lucas Braga hits it long. Julien Guerrier hits it long.
Yeah, who doesn't?
There's not too many powder puffers out there.
No, there are.
No, they all give it a big dig, and some more than others. But those two particularly, Bjerregaard and Guerrier, they played together during the week, and it was a toss-up who was hitting it furthest.
Mm.
They're both hitting it miles.
Which is all right around there, as long as you hit it straight.
Straight and long always did it for me, I've got to say that. And I'm pleased to say that the man himself joins us on the Race to Dubai show, Joachim Lagergren, the most recent champion on the European Tour. How good does that sound?
Sounds really good. I'm so happy to hear those words.
When you played the golf course, I don't know if you played it last year or not. Is it one that you liked, or when you got there, you knew you would like it?
Last time I played was 2012, but that was a different setup of the course. I think we played like 9 of the same holes this week as we did back then. But, I mean, it's hard to not love that golf course. So beautiful, so many great views, and the Mediterranean just outside. So it's such a lovely place.
How hard were the first 2 days?
It was windy. I like it, though. You really need to shape the ball around that course and that wind. So imagination was on point, I would say. It was fun to play in that wind, but it was really hard. It was a different golf course.
Did you think the wind was fairly close? Because you've had chances before. I remember you back in Denmark when Peters nicked it off you. Did you think it was around the corner?
I've been feeling this coming for a long time. I've been up there a few times, and for me it was just a matter of time. But I'm glad it happened. Rather sooner than later, so that was nice.
When you knew it was going to be a playoff, Joachim, what were your feelings like when you went all the way back to that tee to play that 18th hole, which is not easy?
It's not easy, no. I was very nervous, but I felt mentally better on the playoff hole than on the 72nd hole. But it is a tough hole. I was hitting driver 5-iron, so it's pretty hard that hole into the wind.
Did Bjork's win the other week inspire you a little bit more, or do you just think Swedish golf is so strong now it's not going to be uncommon?
Well, Alex Norén's journey the last few years, and obviously Henrik Stenson, and now Alexander Bjork as well. So it feels like where the Swedes are heading is definitely in the right direction.
What was it like playing in the Gulf Sixes as a warm-up to winning the Sicilian Open?
I mean, Gulf Sixes is such a great tournament, a lot of fun, and quite a relaxed feeling to it. So obviously a perfect way to to warm up before to win a tournament.
Never mind the golf. What were you drinking last night?
I can't remember.
Probably a few schnapps, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
But you know what's great about the French guys, the Spaniards, the Swedes, the Scandinavians? When you win, your other mates that have been playing in the tournament, they always hang around and spray you in champagne. You'll remember that for a long time.
Yeah, that's just so nice. I mean, we enjoy our company so much, all the Swedes out there, and we're having a lot of fun. It's a great bond between us, so it's very nice.
A fantastic performance, Joachim. We've waited for your first victory. You've now made it and you're looking for win number two. Have a fantastic season because there's still a lot to play for. And we'll see you at your next event. Is it going to be Belgium or the BMW PGA?
The PGA.
Fantastic. We'll see you at Wentworth. Thank you, Joachim. Yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you very much. Take care. Bye.
That could be the springboard now, John, for a guy in his mid-20s who's been out on tour for a little while, waiting for the big breakthrough. And you never know if you're going to do it. It sounds silly until you do it. Now he's got the win, maybe it's a springboard.
Yeah, and it's a massive... he's going to play the BMW PGA next.
Rolex Series events.
Some enormous tournaments.
Oh, what a time to be playing well.
And also be very confident as well. What a time to be very confident. So, you know, the world rankings we go on, which we'll get onto a little bit later on, but of course you're itching to get into the big time, which gives you the big tournaments. But I think he's going to have a great season. And... it's Ryder Cup year.
Well, Sweden going well with the Bjork win in China and now the Lagergren win in Sicily. It's all going rather well for the country with the blue background and the gold cross.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, you like that? Mm. Lagergren's triumph makes him the second first-time Swedish winner in 3 weeks after Alex Bjork's victory at the Volvo China Open. Just said that. The victory comes in his 131st European Tour appearance and 2,793 days after his first. And he becomes the seventh first-time winner of a European Tour event this season. I always like that when there's lots of first-time winners.
Yeah, and it's becoming more and more common, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
The days of the regular, what would you class as regular people winning or multiple winners keep winning, I reckon there's loads of lads prepared and quite happy to step up and win a trophy.
See, every time a Bjork wins one, there's another Swede like Lagergren who thinks, well, like, he's done it, I can do it. And every time a young French player, let's say Michael Lorenzo Vera won yesterday, be another bunch of French guys who haven't won thinking, I can do that.
Yeah.
It begets.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you.
To the rest of the leaderboard now, Mike Lorenzo Vera's runner-up finish was his second in a row, having lost in the final of the Golf Sixes last week. The Frenchman was asked to sum up his emotions.
Well, not super happy, of course. What can I say? Well, he made a birdie on the last. Well, you know, I didn't have really a chance, so it's kind of day, you know, a bit far from the pins and stuff. So it was hard to score low for me today. So, well, he took his chance better than me. I gave it a go. I tried my best, and here you go. He did it better than me.
And the shot into 17, how does that make you feel, being able to hit those shots under that kind of pressure?
Yeah, it feels good. It feels good to know that I'm able to do that. Now I'm just going to have to work more to be able to finish the job.
He's got MLV on the back of his visor.
That's his name.
I understand that, but if you just wait half a second, I'll explain where I'm going with this.
Go on then.
MLV, all right. Mike Lorenzo Vera, but he could make a little logo for himself. Everyone knows what happened in 1066, including you, which is remarkable.
Well, King Harold nearly lost
correct.
His eye, didn't he?
Correct, yeah. I did, in fact, yes. Yeah. That was the end. That's where it all finished.
I was four then.
Were you? Very good. So, but 1055, why would that be famous?
5 to 11?
It is 5 to 11 if it's a time on the clock, but this is not a clock. I'm talking 1055. Why is that significant? You're stumped, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Admit it.
Yes.
Because MLV is 1,055. M is 1,000, L is 50, V is 5.
You must come round for dinner.
So what I'm saying is, 1055, MLV could put that in the back of his head, so everyone's going to go, what's that? What's 1055? I go,
I bet the winter night's flyby with you.
MLV. Let's see if it's a runner. I've put it out there now. Let's see if it's a runner. You may well laugh. Great player, though. What a lovely swinger.
Yes.
1055.
Very fluent.
Yeah.
Very. He's a bit of a character, isn't he, which we need out on
got
tour.
Got the best hair. We talked about him after the Sixes. He's got the best hair on the European Tour, without question.
I would imagine you're jealous.
No. I'm okay. Listen, when he's my age.
83.
1055. They're the numbers you've got to think about. Remember that.
I see you're heading for a syrup.
Thank you so much. Andy Sullivan's tied third was his best finish since 2016, but the Englishman wasn't entirely satisfied with his efforts in Sicily.
I didn't drive the ball particularly well in that front nine and just managed to hang in there. And then obviously, you know, felt like I finished that nine really well to get somewhere near. Just always felt like I was always just one or two away from where I wanted to be. You know, put that down to not hitting it close enough today, or, you know, Friday afternoon I look back to and I played that back nine in three over. So, but again, there's a lot of positives to look at. I mean, I'm looking at the side of it where I'm feeling a bit down, but, you know, I'm playing well again, starting to get myself back in contention. So it's a lot of positives there. Just, you know, feel a little deflated that I just didn't quite, you know, get that extra one or two to really get up top.
What about Andy Sullivan as a runner for the BMW PGA Championship?
Yes, he'd certainly be a contender. I mean, he shot 65-65 at the weekend, which is, you would have to say, pretty strict scoring.
Excellent, yeah. Excellent.
Different golf course, though, Wentworth, much longer.
He's long, Andy Sullivan.
Yeah, I know he's long. But I believe Wentworth's in cracking condition already.
I hope so.
Because we've obviously had rain and sun, which is just perfect.
Had a bit of warmth as well.
A little bit of warmth,
yeah,
yes.
Makes a difference.
So, yeah, he would be probably a good, if you like, a little bit of a punter, very good.
Oh, he's in my little group to watch at Wentworth, no doubt about that.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yes. I'm just putting it out there now, a little early, but I'm just, heads up so you can peruse and think about that for a week or so. Top 10, please, John, from the Rocco Forte Sicilian Open.
Well, we know that Joachim Lagergren won in a playoff from Michael Lorenzo Vera, then third tied. Lucas Herbert, as you mentioned, the Australian Andy Sullivan, we've just heard from, fifth. Lucas Biergaard, sixth. Julien Guerrier, the Frenchman, talented player, then seventh tied. Stephen Brown, the Englishman, first top 10 on tour. Francesco Laporta, and then ninth tied. Eduardo Molinari and Andre Pavan, who's had a very good start to the season. That is the top 10.
Francesco Laporta was a top Italian in Italy, his first ever European Tour top 10.
Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Now, in the predictions stakes, which I'll explain to you, John, I'm not sure if you know this, it's presenter versus co-presenter for the year.
Yes, I have heard of it.
You have heard of it. Mm. So you get two picks each every week. One pick has to be outside last year's top 50 in the race to Dubai. And you get 20 points for a winner, 10 points for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, and minus 5 for an MC. So I got Michael Lorenzo Vera as my winner. He lost in the playoff. I get 10 points. Alvaro Quiroz, defending champion, missed the cut after a poor first round. So minus 5 points. I get 5 points. Paul Eales went for Andy Sullivan, who finished third. 10 points, even though I finished and lost in the playoff. Get the same points, that's fair. And Sam Horsfield missed the cut, minus 5. So we both had 5 points. It is now 105 to the presenter, Anna. 30-point total for the co-presenter,
well,
of which you are one.
I'd throw you mackerel if I had any.
Well, listen, we'll see your tips and how tasty they are, talking about mackerel, in a few minutes' time. In the fancy race to Dubai game, Thomas Sandstrom has overtaken Nick Borman at the top of the overall global standings, while Virginie Marceau, that's a great name, that, isn't it? Vive la France.
Name on it, yeah.
Got the most points last week. Meanwhile, in the Race to Dubai Show Listeners and Presenters League, Chris Cole still leads the way, while fellow listener Trevor Gardner registered the most points from the Sicilian Open. Top 10, please, John, in the Race to Dubai itself.
Led by, at the moment, Patrick Reed, Masters champion, Shubhankar Sharma is second, Tommy Fleetwood third, Kiridak Api Barnrat fourth, John Rahm fifth, Rory McIlroy sixth, Tyrrell Hatton seventh, Alexander Levy, hope he makes the Ryder Cup, eighth. Be fantastic. Alexander Bjork, who won recently, ninth, and Cameron Smith, who I think is a tremendous player, the Australian, is in 10th.
Yeah, very good young player. We won't see too much of him, I don't think, on the European Tour this year, because he does ply his trade on a PGA Tour. Ryder Cup rankings, how's that working out?
So, yeah, as I say, four off each list. European list, Tyrrell Hatton, Justin Rose, John Rahm, Ross Fisher. World points list, Rory McIlroy, Tommy Fleetwood, Sergio Garcia and Alexander Norin.
Alex Norin, is he a banker for you? Make the team? He is for me.
I think he is, yeah. I think Thomas will have him in. I think he's going to have a good season. If he doesn't make it automatically, I think he will have a WP. Wild pick.
A wild pick. Wild card. WC.
No, I'm going for wild pick.
I'll go WC.
Okay.
All right. Okay, other news. Australia's Dimitrios Papadatos has won his first... Sorry?
Which is a cracking score at Scrabble.
It's not that great, actually. No Zs, Js or Qs. It's not that great. Now, in other news, Australia's Dimitrios Papadatos has won his first Challenge Tour title with victory at the 56-degree Open to Portugal at the Morgado Golf Resort. And despite a slight final round wobble, Webb Simpson has won the Players' Championship at the TPC Sawgrass. The American, who was 7 shots clear after the third round, shot a 1-over par 73 to finish 4 clear. He is a US Open champion.
Yeah, he is. And he looked Well, fairly imperious, I would say, last week. I'm a little bit, golf, because he's not overly long, but he dealt with the golf course very well indeed. I thought his scoring was impressive and a slight last round wobble. When you've got a big, big lead, it must be hard.
It's not easy.
No, it must be hard to know, how do I attack this? If I attack and chuck shots away or they come at me, you know, what do you do? Anyway, he got over the line and, yeah, he's won a good few times. I hope he makes the Ryder Cup.
Well, he had an ignominious tee shot, didn't he, in Gleneagles?
I don't.
Do you remember? He barely got it past the ladies' tee.
No, I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
No.
So he hit a 3-wood off the tee and duffed it, and then had to go in with timber into that, which is a drive and a wedge.
Yeah, and made birdie, did he?
No. Nobody hit timber in for his second shot in front of the grandstanding that they now have on the first tee. It wasn't the best.
Well, they say they get a bit nervous in that Ryder Cup, and there's evidence. Well,
there is evidence, yeah. But a great win for Webb Simpson, and of course his career very much back on track, winning another very big event. Good performances too from Tommy Fleetwood. He finished 7th in Poulter, tied 11th. So good playing from the two English boys, really.
Yeah, of course this tournament last year, Poulter
made the five of the century.
Made
the
five of the century to finish 2nd, because there'd been a misdemeanor in the tally for him keeping his card, hadn't there? There was all sorts of things, but he was the five of the century after he shank up 18. But he stopped all that now because he's working with Cowan.
It was Brian Gay.
Yes, that's right.
Who had worked out there had been points had been overlooked, or in some way the points were wrong, and it was to Ian Poulter's advantage, and then he finished 2nd with an amazing five at the last. By the way, the 18th hole got him back, because it just sat there and says, I'll get you next year.
Mm.
Double on Saturday in the final hole for Ian, which, you know, when you consider he finished 11th, that would have been very expensive.
But
Ian Poulter's career inside the world's top 50, going in the right direction.
It's good that we've got the European and obviously English representation, you know, and those boys go over there. They're not frightened to compete. Fleetwood is building and building as a player. A great performance from Poulter, because, of course, he won on the PGA Tour first stroke play event this year. So, they must be very, very happy. And, of course, it's nice to play in those tournaments where you need a wheelbarrow to carry the check, Robert.
And Tiger caused quite a stir.
Yeah,
65-69 at the weekend, and he finished both rounds off badly.
Yeah, he did finish both rounds, but doesn't he look good? I mean, you know, we're talking in perfect terms, and we are very lucky to have witnessed somebody who's won 14 majors in our lifetime. Jack obviously won 18. But I don't remember a massive amount about Jack's majors.
So when you step on the tee at the Players, they go, John Hawksworth, PGA Tour member, 4 victories.
No, they don't.
No. I'm just stay with it, right? Just imagine that's what they would do. And trust me, for you, I've over-egged it.
Yes, you have.
It went this way. On the tee, Tiger Woods, PGA Tour member, 79 Tour victories. When that's read out like that, it doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't.
79
in the standard
victories.
That's been around for the
it's
time.
Amazing.
And world number one for 638 weeks. That's 13 years.
A great stat.
No, there'll be no charge for
honestly,
that.
No charge. Is that free? You're giving that out free.
The policeman told me that.
Even though you plagiarised it. Okay, top 10 in the world, please, John. There's been a bit of movement, speaking of world number ones.
Right, well, we have a new world number one taking over from Dustin Johnson. It is now Justin Thomas, another American. So Dustin Johnson is 2nd, Jordan Spieth is 3rd. Highest ranked European is John Rahm, the Spaniard, in 4th. Then Justin Rose, 5th. Ricky Fowler, 6th. Australian Jason Day, 7th. Rory McIlroy, 8th. Hideki Matsuyama, 9th. And Tommy Fleetwood now into the top 10 of the world.
How many have you got there? 50 in front of you?
I've got 33.
I wonder where TW is now in the world.
I'm going to have a guess he's inside the top 45.
I'm going to say he's not in the world's top 50 yet.
No?
80th in the world rankings.
Yeah, unbelievable. Well, a few weeks ago, and I should not say how many it was, he was 600 and something, which you cannot imagine. Let's say he's 600, 599 players better than him.
No.
Impossible.
No.
But and what a joy to have him back, the buzzing golf. And also, other players are looking over their shoulder thinking, he's like the hare and the tortoise. You know he's going to catch you up.
The tortoise.
Did I say the tortoise?
You said tortoise. Is that a sort of a northern inflection or something? Because tortoise, most people say tortoise, not tortoise.
It's an ostrich with legs.
It's tortoise.
Yes, tortoise.
It's tortoise. Good grief.
Sorry, I didn't realise you were going to give me an electrocution lesson.
Should we discuss the Belgian knockout, shall we?
Shall we?
Belgian knockout, new event. What about the format, Johnny? Take us through that.
Well, 36 holes of standard stroke play to qualify then for the weekend, where you will play man-to-man nine-hole matches based on your score over nine holes. So straight stroke play knockout, which is a new event. But the good thing for me, it's on the North Course. It's only 6,091 metres, which is 6,900 yards, parkland stroke tree-lined, a little bit of water on it, par 72. But the great thing for me is an event back in Belgium. Plus, I love the chocolate.
The Belgian chocolate.
Indeed.
The great thing is, once you get to the Saturday, it is straight nine-hole knockout.
Yeah.
You're in or you're out.
You're in or you're out,
yeah. And I think that's the appealing thing about match play. Match play events with the round-robin thing, it loses me.
Well, the other thing is nine holes as well. It'd be very attacking because it's a sprint, isn't it?
And they're playing both nines.
Both nines, yeah, alternating.
Yeah.
So it's a different format. I think it's down to the Peters family that have come up with it. And, we've had the Golf Sixes, which is... last year was innovative, and now we've got this. And I think it's more appealing, hopefully, to the public. And rather than being sort of your straight tournament back in Belgium when we used to play the Belgian Open round. Did you play Knokke-Zoot?
I played Knokke-Zoot, beautiful course.
I played
sort of Heathland, Linksy type, Wharton Heath type, Sunningdale golf course, a bit like that.
I remember playing tight fairways.
It's a Harry Cole course.
Bracken all over my ears. It was that tight, that golf course.
Yeah.
But I played with Gregor when he shot 61 round there.
That's a good knock.
And he should have shot 57. I know that sounds ridiculous.
It does.
I was
Congratulations.
There.
It does sound ridiculous.
I witnessed it.
So it was so good.
It was so good.
It's in Antwerp. If you stay in it on the Saturday, you play 3-9 holes to get through to the Sunday.
Yeah.
And then you're down to the last eight.
Yeah. But nine holes and then a break. I mean, it sounds a lot to play 27 holes in a day, but then you get on a roll, you're on a buzz, aren't you?
It's 27 Sunday as well then, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 So, do you know, players don't mind that. Because if you play nine holes and you're in, it's not normal match play, it's stroke play, match play. So everyone has to play complete nine holes. Because you could be four shots behind playing the last hole and you could get a half out of it.
Well, exactly.
You could make up four shots on one hole. So
yeah, you're not one down.
I like the format.
You're not one down with one to play. You're three shots behind playing the last.
That's correct.
You need to hold your second shot and he needs to make bogey.
Stuff happens, doesn't it?
And it will happen.
Yeah, it will happen. I really wish Thomas Peters and his family every success with this. It should be a lot of fun. First time, by the way, since you talked about Knokke and Zoot, that we've had a tournament in Belgium since Lee Westwood won at that venue, the Belgian Open, year 2000.
I'm not having that.
Year 2000, the last time we had a tournament in Belgium. But now they're lucky. I mean, they've got Detry, they've got Thomas, and they've got...
Kolsaerts.
The two Thomases and Nicholas Kolsaerts. That you can really, as a country, build a reputation and build some forward-moving motion and force with three players like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Peters, I'll never forget his performance in the Ryder Cup. I remember seeing him the week after he'd won in Denmark because we were in...
He's a banker for me for the Ryder Cup. Even though he's not close yet, he, for me, is a banker for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, well, if he shows any form... Do you mean to make it or to get picked?
To make it. I saw him... I did a Callaway day, and I said this last week to Paul Eales, week 10 days ago, and Thomas Peters was one of the pros there, and I was doing nearest the pin competition, and Thomas... David Horsey and Alvaro Quiros would turn up and hit shots with a team of punters, you know. And Peters was just super impressive, super impressive. Mm.
Where's he been?
It's coming. He feels like he's been playing well, but just nothing happening. It's about to happen. That's my prediction.
Well, I hope so, because I was thoroughly impressed with him. And as I was going to finish that story until I interrupted you while I was talking.
It was a very good story.
He was so excited to make the Ryder Cup and said he hadn't slept. But the way he performed...
4 points in his first Ryder Cup.
It can't be better.
No. Lost, and that's after losing the opening match, won the next four.
Mm. Can't be better.
They found a partner for him, Rory McIlroy.
Mm.
Rory said, I want to play with Thomas.
Mm.
That's how it worked. It was just, you know, off-the-cuff stuff.
Mm.
And they were tremendous together. So there are two courses at Rinkven Golf Club, Johnny.
Yeah, and they're going to use the North Course. I mentioned it before. It's under 7,000 yards. And
easily under 7,000 yards.
Which is unusual, isn't
Very
it?
Very unusual.
But
parkland, through the trees, bit of water, risk and reward. It all bodes well for match play.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's not going to be...
knockout.
Yeah, a little bit tight, and it's
not match play, is it?
No, but it's not match play in the sense you are trying to shoot the lowest.
It's not match play.
You're trying to shoot the lowest.
It's the Belgian knockout.
Yes, I know what
it is. It's not match play,
Mohammed. Sorry to interrupt while you're talking. Yeah, of course, it's down to who can shoot the lowest score on nine holes to advance. But I'm looking forward to seeing the course and seeing how it tests the players.
You're right. It's longer of the two courses, but they actually can't build courses long enough nowadays. It's not length that stump scoring, it's firmness of greens.
Make the hole smaller.
Firmness of greens. So give us a clue who's playing.
Take the ball off them. Well, Thomas Peters, as we mentioned, Thomas Detry, Nicholas Kolsarts, Joost Luiten, Jordan Smith, who of course won the Porsche last year, Soomin Lee, Marcus Fraser, the Australian, then Adrian Ategi. He could be a bit of a dark horse for this week.
So a good season, the Spaniard.
Yeah, he has, and of course, won last year. Brett Rumford, Brandon Stone, and then a little bit further down, Richie Ramsey's going out there. I mentioned Kolsarts. Lorenzo Vera's had two back-to-back, should we say, runner-up positions. Matthew Southgate's been a bit slow out the blocks this year. Callum Schenk, Soren Kjeldsen, who's also not been at the forefront of leaderboards for quite a long time. Very good player.
So, good field.
Yeah, and Oliver Fisher down there. I've mentioned Detry, Maximilian Kiefer. I thought it was Lefebvre, but I have to tell you, Lefebvre is not playing. Marcel Siem, nice to see him back playing in the European.
Do you think you've mentioned the winner yet, all those players you read out there?
Well, isn't it hard picking one?
It's very difficult being a tipster on this show, particularly if you're a co-presenter.
And we have to pick two.
You've got to pick two. Someone from outside last year's top 50 in the Race to Dubai and whoever else you want.
Yes, well, I think I might have the winner.
You have picked number one. We'll go alternately here. Keep it fair.
All right. I'm going to go for Thomas Detry.
Fabulous talent. Oh. And obviously, being in Belgium, home crowds, you can see it all going his way. And I know when you host an event, I've spoken to many guys who've done it, it's onerous. You have to do dinners and speeches and media, and you don't have that much time to yourself. But on the back of what I said about what I saw at that company day with Thomas Peters, I'm going for Thomas Peters. The complete Thomas Peters show for the whole week.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're going for him. Okay.
Yes.
Then my next pick is a toughie. But I think I'm going to go for Jamie Donaldson. Hit the winning shot in the Ryder Cup at Glen Eagles.
Yeah.
Welsh guy. You must have heard of him.
I have heard of him.
Good.
Yeah. And I'm going to go with the player you mentioned, Adrian Ategi.
Oh, damn. I meant to pick him.
Did you? Did you? So I'm going Peters and Ategi.
Are you sure you want to take
Yes, I'm more than happy with my pick. So I've got 100 points, you've got 30. I've got 105, you've got 30.
Had I been doing this most weeks, you'd be losing.
You'd have about minus five.
You'd be losing.
There's people performing well on your behalf, John. You realise that, don't you?
You'd be losing.
That's it for now. Next week, we will review the Belgian knockout and look ahead to the first Rolex Series event of the year, the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth, which is hurtling towards us. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news on the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, via the EuropeanTour.com website, or by downloading the official app. And don't forget, all of you, rate and review this show on iTunes. We're looking forward to reading one of those. Or just one. But for now, from John Hawksworth, who's gone for?
I've gone for Thomas Detry, the Belgian, and Jamie Donaldson, the Welshman.
And I've gone for Thomas Peters, whose train set it is this week, and Adrian Ategi, myself, Robert Lee, and John Hawksworth. Bye for now.
Bye.